Okay, we have to get to our next guest. It's going to be Ellis Nasur. He's an author. He also is a writer of both books, and he's been working on a musical about Patsy Cline forever. Eventually, it's going to come to New York. But Ellis writes for a bunch of different places, and he's going to be talking about leading actress in a musical and featured actress in a musical. Those two categories on the WGBB Tony show for Mr. Ellis Nasur of BroadwayStars.com. Hello, Ellis. How you doing?
Hi, David. Thank you very much for having me join you.
A pleasure. A pleasure. Now, the first thing you wanted to tell us about, though, since we're talking about the Tony Awards, is just a little bit about the woman who founded them.
Well, it's very difficult to talk about Antoinette briefly, but she was a gorgeous young actress from Denver who came from big money. Her family helped settle Colorado. She came to New York and just snowed everybody, and David Belasco fell in love with her, and he started putting her in all of his plays as an ingenue.
Mm-hmm.
And after she had achieved some degree of stardom, Antoinette had a horrendous stroke. And as a result of that stroke, part of her face was paralyzed and her speech was slightly slurred.
Mm-hmm.
And because of her relationship with a press agent turned producer by the name of Brock Pendleton, she decided she wanted to go into producing. There were only one or two women producers at that time in the late 30s, early 40s, and very few women directors. Antoinette did both, and she had a number of big successes. I guess the biggest success of all was the Broadway show Harvey, which
Of
course was sold to the movies, and as a result of that sale to the movies and that being a big hit, Antoinette was able to help form the Stage Door Canteen, the scholarship bill for the GIs returning from World War II, and co-founded the American Theater Wing, which is now co-presenter of the Tonys.
So, at what point were they named after Antoinette Perry? I mean, how did it?
Very shortly after her death, there was a meeting of the board of the American Theater Wing, and Brock said he wanted to honor Antoinette in some way, and it was suggested that they have an annual award, and we'll call it Tony. It was very interesting. Antoinette always spelled her name T-O-N-I until the big hair permanent product hit the market, and it became so popular on radio and television, she decided she had to put a Y instead of an I. So then after that, she always became Tony with a Y.
Well, go figure. Well, there's your basic thing of how the Tonys were named and kind of came about.
1947 was the first, yeah.
Well, now it's 2007, so all these years later, let's get to some actual categories in this particular Tony Awards.
I think she'd be very, very proud of all the categories because I think you might agree, it's been an incredible season with talent on the stage. The shows haven't always been as great as you want.
Right.
You certainly can't fault the talent. And you want to speak about featured actress in a musical?
I do indeed.
Okay.
Well, let's run down the category first. We have, do you want to read them?
It's up to you.
I think I'll
do it. It's your show.
It's my show. Well, it's my show and your show and everybody who loves theater's show.
We'll take turns.
Okay. Charlotte D'Amboise, A Chorus Line.
Rebecca Luca, Mary Poppins.
Orfe, Legally Blonde, the musical.
The musical. Mary Louise Wilson, Grey Gardens.
And Karen Ziemba, Curtains. Ellis, what are your thoughts?
Well, Charlotte is admired and has a great work ethic. And I don't think there's anybody that wouldn't say that, you know, she really works hard. And what was interesting to me when I recently interviewed her is that she didn't really go out to copy what Donna McKechnie did in the original production, which I think is admirable. However, they're using the same choreography that Michael Bennett, the choreography is being recreated. So she just tried to put a different spin on it. Becca Luker is a Broadway fave. I don't think there's anybody in the theater that doesn't love Rebecca Luker, but let's face it. It's not the greatest part in the world.
I'm just a little sad that, you know, I remember when she was an ingenue and suddenly they're giving her mom roles. When did that happen?
Well, you know what? When we sat down to interview her, she came in, she came straight from the house, she had absolutely no makeup on, not even lipstick, and she is still gorgeous.
Oh, good. Oh, I'm so glad to hear it.
Speaking of gorgeous, there's Orfe. She has a couple of powerhouse moments in Legally Blonde, but I don't think it's Orfe's year. Karen with the Z is everybody's favorite. I think she's probably one of the most beloved people in show business.
Mm-hmm.
Still, I think the money's on Mary Louise Wilson. Even basically, She's only in one act of Grey Gardens, if you really want to pinpoint it. But I think it's the performance of the season in this category.
Right, and she, the whole act, it's an hour long act, so
yes,
it's a featured role.
And she's never away for but maybe 5 seconds.
Well, she's mostly in bed. She has to be. And do you think she deserves?
Well rested in act two.
Do you think she deserves the award in the category?
It's such an unusual performance. I mean, I don't know how great the songs are they sing. I mean, you know, they're not the songs that you go down the avenue humming. But I really think that in that category, she deserves to win.
Jerry loves my corn. Yeah, I agree as well. Let's get to the leading actress in a musical category.
This is a tough category.
It actually rather is. Let's alternate them again. Laura Bell Bundy in Legally Blonde, the musical.
Christine Ebersole, Grey Gardens.
Audra McDonald, 110 in The Shade.
Deborah Monk, Curtains.
And Donna Murphy in Love Music.
Donna certainly reveals a totally different side of her multi-talents in Love Music. And it's certainly a fascinating performance. But I think it would be criminal if Christine Ebersole doesn't get it. You got to remember, though, the show's been running since early in the season.
Mm-hmm.
But recently, they were very smart. They invited all the voters back to see the show again. I happened to be also invited back again, as I think you were, and I think the performance has actually gotten stronger, and especially toward the very end of the second act, I think that it would be absolutely criminal if she doesn't get the Tony. It's the performance to beat. However,
mm-hmm.
since that show opened a couple of weeks ago, 110 in the Shade came on the scene.
Right.
And now you've got Audra McDonald in the mix. And this is a performance also that's mesmerized everybody that's seen it. She's much beloved. She's won a lot of Tonys. It's going to be between the two gals, but I have a feeling that Christine's going to win. But I wouldn't go to Vegas and bet on it. I think that Audra could slip right into that category. How do you feel about that?
It's funny. When the musical first opened, people were literally saying they shouldn't even bother having any other people in the category.
Exactly.
Lock, stock, and barrel, it's Christine Ebersole's show. And it's funny, when I saw the show off-Broadway 2 years ago, or whenever it was, I thought she was good. I thought Mary Louise Wilson was just as good. And I thought, okay, it's a really fine performance. I don't know why everybody's screaming and raving. And then I finally saw the documentary Grey Gardens, because I had never seen it before. And then I realized, oh my gosh, she really is doing this woman amazingly well. That she's playing, the Beale. And it gave me an extra respect for her of doing the role and also copying but making it her own of
she
this very specific
she
character.
She made it her own.
Yeah.
And, you know, in this category, you've got another performer that everybody in the theater loves, and that's Deborah Monk.
I think that's a featured role.
And, to me, I think we should honor the fact that they put her name over the title. So they put her in the right category, in my opinion. But to a lot of people, she is featured, and of course she did win the Feature Drama Desk Award.
Yeah.
And if she had been in the actress category, that wouldn't have happened.
But
a lot of people are saying that Deborah Monk should have been in the featured category. I don't agree. I think that if you're given star billing, you should be in the star category. And it wouldn't it be funny if all these votes are split and Deborah walks off with the award?
That I don't think will happen. I don't think it's the greatest performance. I think her character is just basically crude and not that funny.
You got to think about something in this category. You know that the producers and the tour, the theater owners out in America, they control who really wins the Tonys.
Yeah.
And there's only one show in this, there are two shows in this category that they definitely think that could play every city in America, and that's Legally Blonde and Curtains.
Right.
Grey Gardens is not going to be able to play down in Oklahoma and Louisiana and Mississippi and sit down for 2 or 3 months.
Right.
I don't think 110 in the Shade is ever going to tour.
Well, that's a show that could go.
I probably will never get out of New York City.
Well, 110 actually is a musical that technically should be able to tour everywhere.
Yeah,
and have
but it's been probably, almost probably every respectable theater has already done it.
Done it, yeah. I don't know. I mean,
it would be interesting to see if the voters, it's not like the outer critics and the drama desk where you've got people who write about the theater voting, you've got people with commercial interest voting.
I know. Although, and I would not be upset, though, if Audra McDonald took it, because she was
I don't think
magic.
Anybody would.
Yeah.
I just think it would be considered an upset. And right now, it's certainly between Christine and Audra.
Absolutely.
And wouldn't it be nice if that was a tie, like at the drama yes. desk? Of course, it was a tie between Donna and Audra because Christine had won the previous season.
Because drama desk allows off Broadway. Now, speaking of Broadway or off, how about your sense of the best show you saw all season long and maybe the best performance?
Christine Ebersole would be my choice for the best performance.
Mm-hmm.
I was very, very impressed when I saw Curtains in California, but by the time I got back to New York, it had kind of worn a little thin on me. But if you're a show business fanatic, there's a lot to love about it. But I think the best musical of the season is In the Heights, and it will be nominated for Tonys next year because they just announced they're moving it to Broadway after they're going to close it.
Yep.
And in July, they're going to open it on Broadway.
Well, they're closing it in July and then opening it, I think,
open it on
season.
Broadway
yeah.
later, right?
Right.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. So,
and they'll probably make some changes. But I tell you, when you walk in that theater on 37th Street and see that set, I think bringing it to Broadway must have always been in the back of their head.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm looking forward to
plays,
that, too.
As far as David, I think the sweep and the epic of Coast of Utopia made it my favorite play. But I was also very, very knocked out by Frost Nixon.
Yeah.
But I think by the performances more than the play.
Okay. Well, Ellis Nasur, it's been a pleasure. Make sure everybody to read his columns on BroadwayStars.com, stars with an S, not a Z. He's also a contributor to Playbill, and he is the author of, please give us the title of your book, Ellis.
Well, it's called Honky Tonk Angel, The Intimate Story of Patsy Cline, which is now being adapted into a musical for the stage. And maybe in the next 20 years it might get nominated. So, David?
Yeah.
Go back a long ways. I thank you for thinking of me. Appreciate it.
Anytime, Ellis. Have a great one. Bye-bye. Ellis Nasur on the WGBB Tony Award Special here on June 4th on AM 1240 WGBB.